In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I delight in your law. The law from your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. It is sweeter than honey from the comb. As the psalmist rejoiced, so do we now rejoice to hear those two great commands from the lips of our Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. The goal and purpose of your life is to love God first, your neighbor second. Yet when God is loved perfectly, your neighbor is also loved completely. God did not put you in isolation on this earth. He has put numerous people around you so that you might live in love toward him. He doesn't need your love, but your spouse does. Your children do, your parents do, your boss does, and co-workers. Your teachers do, your siblings and your friends. Even the politicians need your love, and so does ISIS. The more opposed to you they are, the more they hate you, despise you, and want nothing to do with you, the more they need your love. So love your enemies, not simply in words, but by doing good to those who hate you. Love does not seek its own advantage. If in the service of God you seek your own advantage, you will not produce works of love, and you will not please God. Love is selfless. Do not love to gain a reward from God or from men, but because your God has commanded it and it pleases him. If you serve God to get a reward, even if that reward is you feel good about yourself for helping someone else, then you are serving yourself and not others. This is how the hypocrites love. Love as children, love as little children, love, because you are God's children. So what if it doesn't make you feel good to help someone else out? You are still called to love them. So what if no one says thank you or appreciates your hard effort on their hard work on their part? It pleases your heavenly Father, and so live in love. Do not grumble that the house needs to be cleaned again. Do not complain that there is no way to move up the ladder. Do not mutter that no one ever says thank you for your work. God calls you to love them. And by loving them, you love him who gave you them. And so love is chiefly seen not on vacations or on holidays or birthdays. It's easy to love people on those days. But love is seen in the everyday, mundane, and frankly, boring things of life. Doing the things everyone expects of you, and yet doing them out of love for others. Where there is love for God, there will be perfect love for others. For faith and love are never separated. So the smallest work done out of love for God far exceeds the greatest work praised by men. You cannot love God and hate your brother. So what if it doesn't make you feel good to love that person who causes you nothing but trouble and heartache? You are to love them, even though it is extremely difficult. Because if you sin against them by refusing to love them, you are sinning against your God. So try to reconcile with them, just as your God has reconciled himself to you. Love them enough to forget their offenses, because your God has forgotten your insurmountable debt. So no, love doesn't always make you feel good about yourself. And yes, it hurts to love. It costs you to love, as you bury your grudges and whatever else you feel against them, as you bury it deep in your heart, as if it never happened. Love treats others as it treats Christ. For whatever you do for the least of these, you do for me. So would you mock Christ, insult him, gossip about him, go out of your way to ignore him, treat him like dirt and want nothing to do with him? However you treat others, not just your fellow Christians, but others. However you treat others is how you are treating Christ. This command to love is so great and sublime that we can never reach it on this earth. For the Lord requires a love that issues forth from our entire heart, our entire soul, our entire mind. Never once needing a break, never once stopping to take a rest, never once thinking about ourselves and what we like or what we need. Perfect love never has even a thought of hindrance or of evil. And so who can attain to this? The scriptures say, every inclination of man's heart is only evil from childhood. And those words were written about the world after the flood when there were only 8 righteous people on the earth. There is no one who does good. No, not one. And if we claim to be without sin, even for 1 second of 1 day, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Although we are sanctified by the Holy Spirit, born again, we are still sinners. We are not yet perfected in our sanctified living. Not until we leave this world behind and enter the joys of heaven will we finally love as we have been loved. So this greatest command from God reveals the greatest virtue. Yet it also reveals our greatest sin. There is no command that accuses us more harshly than this command to love God and love our neighbors. There is no command that enrages us and makes us angry against the wrath of God than this simple command to love, because we truly believe that we are loving people. We never meant to hurt anyone. We've never done anything against them that they haven't deserved. And so the Pharisee's question is a good question. But the honest person will confess that he has failed completely. So if your salvation depended on how well you loved God, you would have to confess, as you did this morning, I deserve your eternal punishment, both now and in eternity. The psalmists not only delight in the law of God, but they also confess, O Lord, if you kept record of sin, O Lord, who could stand? Even if it were only one time, for whoever sins once is still guilty of breaking the entire law. So the Pharisee's question is a good question. But our Lord's question to the Pharisees is even better. What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? How sad that they didn't know the answer. How sad that many today would want to discuss the law of love with the Pharisees rather than the gospel of forgiveness with Christ. Yet the gospel is the highest wisdom known to man. The reason God became man is because you could not love perfectly. So he doesn't come down to earth to show you what to do, but to do it in your place. He loves those not who try hard and think themselves good, but he loves the sinner. He came not for the righteous, but for the sinner. So he loves only sinners. He had every right and every reason to throw all of mankind in hell forever, but his love would not let him. So instead, the Son of God became the Son of David. Someone had to love perfectly. Someone had to fulfill the law where we had failed. And that someone is Jesus. He loved the Lord his God with all his heart and with all his soul, and with all his mind, and that showed in how he dealt with others. He loved those who needed his love, the sinners, the prostitutes, the tax collectors, the druggies, the alcoholics and rapists. He loved them with an undying love. He loved the Pharisees, who thought they were good people. Never did he grumble when the sick came. Never did he turn away those little children. Never did he complain when someone sought his help. It cost him. He spent nights in prayer praying for those whom he loved. He went days without food, without rest. His plans completely changed as people came to him and sought his help, but he loved them more than he loved himself, even his enemies. You heard him spoke from his cross, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. He wanted God the Father to forgive those soldiers for pounding in those nails, the women for weeping for him instead of for themselves in repentant faith, for the Jewish leaders for rejoicing in his death, for his disciples who fled, and for you and for me, who by our sins necessitated his death. And so in love he took our sins. In love he died our death. In love, he refused to come down from that cross. For not my will, but yours be done. So he loved you to the end. He loved you to the end of his life, though it did not make him feel good about himself to hang on that cross. For love seeks what is best for others, not what makes a person feel good. If he were only the son of David, no one would be saved, for no man can redeem his brother. If he were only the son of God, he could not die in our place. He couldn't be our substitute. So David's Lord became David's son. The son of God became the son of man. The blood of God flowed from his holy wounds and soaked the ground below. The flesh of God was torn apart, and God died your death and was buried. Can you think of any greater picture of love than that? Than your God dying your death on your cross to save you? Can you think of any greater words than the words Christ spoke to you earlier? I forgive you all your sins. It is finished by him at his cross so that forgiveness might be poured over you and put into your mouth. This is love. Not that you love God, but that God loved you on his cross and continues to love you in his Holy Supper. He takes your failures and your shortcomings, your angers and your loveless acts, and buries them deep down within his grave. He forgives you. And then the God who knows all things forgets your sins. Then the law is perfectly fulfilled for you, as that righteous garment is draped over your shoulders yet again. It's not that we love God and so are saved, but it's God loved us. He died for us. God forgives us. God justifies us. He declares us forgiven. He opens heaven to us. He redeems us. He loves us. This is the essence of Christianity and the basis for all our hope. So do not dwell in the law, not even in that great command of love, but rather dwell in David's Son, yet David's Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.